Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Philippians 2, because we know that we haven't got all the answers, but God has, that we need help in our lives. And God gives us real help and real truth in his word for modern lives. The Bible isn't just an old book for old-fashioned people. It's a relevant book for modern people. And what do you think? Do you think Tom and Anna are going to need a little bit of help and guidance in raising their daughter? He's nodding. Some of them might be wrong. What if they could go somewhere where there was some guidance? How to live a Christian life and bring up your child in a way that honours God. Wouldn't that be cool if there was a place like that? Yes. He knows what they're like. He knows what rubs them up the wrong way. How long do you think it's going to be before Lottie knows how to press the buttons of her parents and kind of wild, not that they ever get wild or knocked or frustrated or anything like this. Some people in church, they give them this one amazing clip. Look at verse 5. This is it. I'll give it you right off the bat. This is the main thing. In all your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. That's a nice easy one for starters then, isn't it? Have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. He's going to get to quarrelling. He's going to get to kind of making up and all. But before we get there, lay this bedrock. Start thinking like Jesus. We're going to need to put some skin and bone on that and see what it means in a minute. But have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. That's hard, isn't it? In fact, I want to make a bold statement. There is nothing in Tom's parenting, in Anna's parenting, in the grandparents' grandparenting, in my life, in your life, there is nothing in our lives that would not be better if we thought more like Jesus. What do you think to that? That's a bold statement. I'm not a very patient person, but Jesus was super patient. Maybe you're not a very forgiving person, but Jesus was super forgiving. Do you know that Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, even prayed for the people that were killing him, and he prayed for their forgiveness. Jesus had time for people that were broken and messy and even called him names. Are you any good at that? Think about his compassion, his kindness, his love. Like you say, the statement.
And God says, in the middle of this message. He says, I am not going to sit around and wait for you to be good enough for me. I'm going to come down to where you are in the dirt and the grime and the mud and the mess, and I'm going to make myself like you so that I could die a death that you couldn't, to pay for your sins so you don't have to, and then bring you up to be like me. No other religion has copied this, because the incarnation is extraordinary. You'll only hear about it in Christianity. God coming to rescue people he cares about. It's an amazing message. An amazing message. We sing it in a carol, one of the Christmas carols that you perhaps know, with the poor and mean and lowly, we sing about. He came here to reach us. This is the central message of Christianity. And when we realize that Jesus has done this, we've immediately got two conclusions. Number one, don't ever say that making myself look big and look good is the way of Christ and the way of Christianity. Can't be, can it? You wouldn't trust the messenger, would you? It could be a fake. It could be a fraud. You'd rather trust yourself. You might pass or you might fail. But what if the messenger was genuine? And what if he'd done it for you? Jesus, do you see at the end of verse 7, the end of verse 8? He's paid for our sins for us, so that we don't have to find our way to God. Amazing. Third, last point, verses 9 to 11. What does being a true follower of Jesus mean then day to day? Verses 9 to 11. Would you remember my summary said that, because he's inspired lots of songs, we sang one at the start. Jesus is truly worthy. He's been lifted above other people. He's been seated at the right hand of God in heaven, and he is now truly the greatest, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And look at verse 10. There's no one that's not underneath him. It lists people and spirits and angels under the earth, in heaven, on the earth. Creatures, people, spirits. There's no one like Jesus. Now, but please note the contrast. He made himself nothing 2,000 years ago when he became a baby born in Bethlehem in the manger. He made himself nothing 2,000 years ago, so that he could be like us and grow up to be a human and die on the cross. But you can't make him nothing today. You can't say, because he was nothing then, he's nothing to me today. You can't do that, because God's now exalted him and he's on the throne of heaven. It's a big mistake to say, well, because he was nothing then, he's nothing now, because God's lifted him above everybody. So the only proper response to this, Jesus, is, wow, what you've done for me is amazing. I am going to bow to you. Your lordship. You can't opt out of it. How many knees are there in verse 10 that are going to bow to him? Every knee. How many tongues are there in verse 11 who are going to acknowledge one day that Jesus is Lord? Every tongue. You can opt out of giving blood. You can opt out of being a donor. You can opt out of voting. You can opt out of congratulating an Arsenal fan. Congratulations on the Premiership title this year. You can opt out of all those things. You don't have to do them. You can't opt out of giving Jesus the glory for what he's deserved, because he's worthy. You can't do it. Don't make Jesus nothing. He's done all this. Why would you want to? Which brings us back to our question. What does a true Christian follower look like? What's it going to be like in Tom and Anna's marriage if they're trying to honor Jesus as they're bringing Lottie up? Well, imagine if they said to each other, do you know, we want Jesus to be king of our marriage and king of our home and king of our parenting. We want Lottie to see Jesus in us. Imagine. I know that they do. You can pray that for them. Imagine what a change that would bring. Being a true follower of Jesus means this, that if you and I are having a conversation after the service, and there's one Lord of that conversation, and it isn't me, and it isn't you. If you and I are having a bit of a bragging fest, oh, my chili con carne is better than your chili, no, my chili con carne is better than yours. There's one Lord of that bragging fest, and it's not me and it's not you. Or we're having an argument. We're disagreeing. We're having a fight. How should we discipline Lottie? No, I think my way to discipline Lottie's best. No, I think my way's the best. These guys are having a quarrel. There's one Lord of that conversation. And do you know what? It's not him and it's not her. There's one Lord and it's Jesus. He's the king of every conversation now. That's what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. To not say I'm the thing, but he is the one. And to give him glory in everything. Now, can I ask, if you're looking into Christianity, have you seen true Christianity like that? If you haven't, if you've seen kind of a false or a hypocritical or a mock Christianity, don't be taken in or be turned against God because of some fake that you've seen. This is what true Christianity is all about. It's about Jesus coming to save us by humbling himself to the cross. If somebody gave you a fake £5 note in the shop tomorrow, you wouldn't give up money because somebody gave you a fake note. I'm not going to take any salary anymore. I'm giving up cash because somebody gave me a fake one. I'm not going to pay my mortgage anymore. I'm not going to take any salary. I'm not going to carry any because I'm giving up money. That would be so foolish, wouldn't it? Well, you don't give up money because somebody gave you a fake one. You'd make sure that every penny you had your hands on was only the genuine, right? This is Christianity in a nutshell. You want to know how Jesus cared for you? He had everything. He gave it up and became nothing. You want to know how Christians are supposed to treat each other? With humility, putting one another above the other, because that's how Jesus loved us and saved us, and there isn't any other version of Christianity. Brothers and sisters, make verse 5 your prayer. Pray that God would give us the mind of Christ, willing to put others above myself. Pray for Lottie that she would grow up seeing that modeled, and then she would model it among us, and that we would see in her life that humility and compassion of Jesus, that she might do great things in the world through God blessing and using her. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? And we pray it for the rest of our children, don't we? Please don't leave this room thinking that because you've ignored Jesus, he must be nothing. He isn't nothing. He's done everything that is needed to save you. You don't need to do a thing except one. Accept and acknowledge and bow at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I want you to save and rescue me like that and be the Lord of my life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you came into our world where we are to rescue us. Thank you, Lord, that we have these amazing examples of how you've transformed so many lives. Thank you, Lord, that when you got round to telling these two ladies in Philippi to work together, thank you, they had this example of Jesus who gave himself for us. We want to pray again for Tom and Anna and for John and for Angela and for Lottie, that in their homes and families that it would be like that, that they would model it to us and us to them, and that through that we would come to know more of what it means to follow Jesus. And Lord, for everyone here that's been listening in, and thank you for being present today, Lord, to share in this joy and this celebration. Be with the meal later and all those that are staying around. Thank you for this great celebration. Lord, please don't let us miss what you have done for us in the Lord Jesus. Don't let us miss it. Don't let us ignore it. We'll all bow one day, Lord, we know. Our knees will bow in your presence. Our tongues will acknowledge you. Lord, help us to know that today as saved and redeemed and thankful people that you have come to rescue us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray it in his name and for his glory. Amen.